Stage 1, guard the protector. Fight or flight response. Neurologists have long divided the brain into old and new. The new brain is an organ to be proud of. When you have a reasoned thought, it is the new brain, primarily the cerebral cortex, that comes into play. But the old brain wants its due. This is the part of us that claws for survival and is willing to kill, if need be, to protect us. The old brain is reflected in a god who seems primordial and largely unforgiving. He knows who his enemies are. He doesn't come from the school of forgive and forget. God is very dangerous in stage one. He uses nature to punish even his most favored children through storms, floods, earthquakes, and disease. Primitive man experienced untold threats from the environment. Despite his frightening temper, God the Protector was as necessary to life as a father is inside a family. The old brain isn't logical. It fires off impulses that destroy logic in favor of strong emotions and instant reflexes. The favorite response of the old brain is to lash out in its own defense, which is why the fight or flight response serves as its main trigger. In crisis, we are all thrown back on a deep sense of physical danger. The loss of a job can feel like a matter of life and death. People wrangling over a bitter divorce at times act as if their former spouse has become a mortal enemy. The fact that the old brain exerts its influence age after age accounts for the durability of God's role as protector. Because his role is to protect, the God of stage one fails when the weak fall prey to illness, tragedy, or violence. He succeeds whenever we escape danger and survive crisis. In the mood of triumph, his devotees feel chosen. They exult over their enemies and once again feel safe, for a while, because heaven is on their side. Reason teaches us that aggression begets retaliation. We know this undeniably, given the tragic history of war. But there is a wall between the logic of the new brain, which is based upon reflection, observation, and the ability to see beyond bare survival, and the logic of the old brain. The old brain fights first, or runs away, and asks questions later. At each stage, the basic question, "Who is God?" immediately raises other questions. The first of these is, "Who am I?" In stage one, identity is based upon the physical body and the environment. Survival is the foremost consideration here. When they asked, "Who am I?" the earliest writers of scripture knew that they were mortals subject to disease and famine. These conditions had to have a reason. Therefore, the family relationship with God got worked out in terms of sin, disobedience, and ignorance. Even so, God remained on the scene. He watches over Adam and Eve, despite the curse put upon them, and after a while, he finds enough virtue in their descendant Noah to save him from the sentence of death. Rather than viewing the God of stage one harshly, we need to realize how realistic he is. Life has been incredibly hard for many people, and deep psychological wounds are inflicted in family life. The God of stage one salves these wounds and gives us a reason to believe that we will survive. At the same time, he fuels our needs. As long as we need a protector, we will cling to the role of children. In crisis, people seek ways to cope, and in stage one, God is a coping mechanism. To escape complete despair, people will project beyond hopelessness, finding solace in a God who wants to protect them. An absolute standard of good and evil is something many people crave, particularly at a time when values seem to be crumbling. In stage one, good and evil seem to be very clear. Good derives from being safe. Evil derives from being in danger. But is the picture really so clear? Social workers are well aware that abused children have a strange desire to defend their parents. If you try to remove the child from the abusive environment, he's deeply afraid that you are snatching away his source of love. The old brain has an overriding need for security, which is why so many abused wives defend their husbands and return to them. Good and evil become hopelessly confused. The God of stage one is just as ambiguous. Even if he is worshipped as a benign parent, his goodness is tainted by suffering. A father who provides with great love and generosity would be considered a good father, but not if he tortures a child. Anyone who considers himself a child of God has to consider this problem. Much of the time, it is papered over. The need for security is too great. Yet if the God of stage one is double-edged, providing with one hand and punishing with the other, then he cannot be known only one way. Fear and love both come into play. It takes a great deal of growing up before one can live with ambivalence and its constant blending of dark and light, love and hate. This is the road not taken in stage one. Some children try to preserve innocence by denying that its opposite exists. They turn into idealists and wishful thinkers. They show a strong streak of denial when anything negative takes place and will remain anxious until a situation turns positive again. Other children take sides, assigning all the anxiety-provoking traits to a bad parent while labeling the other as always good. The good parent-bad parent solution takes the form of a cosmic battle between God and Satan. In the Old Testament, Jehovah is cruel enough to assume the role of bad parent by himself. However, there must be an adversary, the literal meaning of Satan's name, to take the blame away from God. Never once is he described as an aspect of God. The division between the two makes for a much simpler story. The other coping strategy, which involves denying the negative and seeking always to be positive, is just as common in religion. A lot of harm has to be overlooked to make God totally benign, yet people manage to do so. The power of interpretation is linked to consciousness. Things can't exist if you're not conscious of them. In religious terms, the deity is still perfect, meaning that he's always right, because those he punishes must be wrong. In stage one, God has to be right. If he isn't, the world becomes too dangerous to live in.